بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. دنیا شیطان he always tries to promote things that are against the sunnah. Our salvation is in the sunnah, in following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The shaitan will always come out with things, whether he will use fashion, he will use interior decorators, he will use trends, whatever it is, to take us away from the sunnah. This is why it is so important to develop the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must have so much of love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his way, what we call the sunnah, that must be beloved to us. We don't get attracted to any other way. No matter what people may say, what benefit they're getting in it, or how much they enjoy it, or whatever, how smart they think it looks, or whatever. But a person who is in love, truly in love, he doesn't look anywhere else. When our love is fickle, then we get attracted to other things. Like that kissa Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had mentioned, that this man saw that woman, so he went up to her and telling her, "No, never seen somebody so beautiful like you, and I'm madly in love with you now," and whatever. She told him that if you think I'm so beautiful, you should see my sister. There she coming there, look at my sister. So he turned around to look. There was nobody there. So he looked this side, she gave him one tight slap. Just now you are professing love and got eyes only for me and everything. Now what happened now? This is our love. Our love is like this. We proclaim love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love for our deen. But as soon as there is some attraction somewhere else or something, then we want to check it out. We want to try also. Or we want to see how those people are trying. Our love mustn't be like that. This is why Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that your iman cannot be complete until you love me more than you love anything else, anyone else, even your own self. Umar radiallahu anhu thought for a while and then he told Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I love you more than everything. But with regards to loving you more than I love myself, that now I don't know. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him again, you have to love me more than you love yourself. So then he pondered, and then he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now I love you more than I love myself. Right? But with that claim of love must come action. Then you will be tested after that in your life. Different times you will have to make a choice. To make a choice. Now what am I choosing? Am I choosing the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or am I now going in the opposite direction? Am I choosing the ways of the enemies of Islam? So, the more we make amal on the sunnah, the more closer we will get to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more we recite Durood Sharif, the more closer we will get to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more we discuss the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will grow in our hearts. And then we must make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, bless me with the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we make dua that Allah Ta'ala must bless us with His love, and Allah Ta'ala must bless us with the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. So this naat here, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to recite this Naat Sharif. You can read Durood Sharif first. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad. Jab zuba par Muhammad ka naam a gaya, dosto zindagi ka payam a gaya. جب زبان پر محمد کا نام آ گیا دوستو زندگی کا پیام آ گیا آ گیا انبیاء کا امام آ گیا لے کے فیضان دار و سلام آ گیا. He says, when on the tongue the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes away, jab zubaan par Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ka naam aa gaya, then in other words, it's not just a lip service thing. Sometimes people just lip service, you know, we aashiq e rasool and things like that, you know. It's not just a lip service thing. Oh friends, the whole message of life has come away. In other words, the whole instruction of our life, now how I'm supposed to live my life, that is what's supposed to come away now. If I am the ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so my life must now conform with the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I can't be that I am an ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but then my life now is looking like the ways of the kuffar. See, it is so sad, right? So sad. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunnat is we must wear our pants above the anchor. Right? Now, this is such an important thing that the person who wears his pants beneath the ankle, below the ankle, even on the night of 15 Shaban too, he is not given forgiveness. Right? One of the people is a person who is a Muslim, means he wears his lower garment below his ankle. So it's a very serious thing. But now, the person says, no, it looks funny. It looks funny. It doesn't suit me. Or he may not say anything, but he doesn't comply. The same person, time come for him to play football. Now, his pants go so short, it doesn't even cover his knees also. And that he wears with pride. That he wears with pride. Then time come, summertime, or he's going to the beach or something, now he's wearing a three-quarter pants. It's coming just over his knees, or halfway his calves. And that he wears with pride. Now there he is complying with the sunnat. But what's the niyat? The niyat is not the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The niyat is the fashion. The niyat is the trends. Right? So the same thing which he said, it looks funny, but when it's a fashion trend, then there's no problem. There's so many people go on to keep beard. It looks, who knows, billah, they mock at the beard, or they say, no, it doesn't suit me, or whatever. Agar dari ke rakhne se, ye chehra badnuma hota, to phir dari mere sarkar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki sunnat nahi hoti. If by having a beard, it was going to make my face look ugly, then this keeping of a beard would not have been the sunnah of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the person doesn't want to keep a beard. Now about maybe 25 or whatever years back, some famous movie actors, they started keeping a goatee beard, just here by the chin, mustache, and just here by the chin, they started keeping that kind of beard. Then the same people who didn't want to keep no beard, they were clean shaven, they started keeping that beard, goatee beard. That became a trend. Currently, beard is trending. Currently, beard is trending. So many companies now making beard oil. Because beard is currently trending, to keep beard. So many people who never wanted to keep beard, they're keeping beard now. They're keeping beard, right? But now what they want to do now, this thing must be trimmed all year on the side. They keep it a little long too, because it's trending to keep it long. So it's a fashion trend currently, the keeping of a beard. So many people who never wanted to keep beard, now it's becoming easy for them to keep a beard because it's a fashion trend. Right? So how do you see now that we mustn't judge anybody, but we must look into ourselves. We're just talking about one sunnah. We must look at all the other sunnahs. Look at all the other sunnahs also. Right? Now, how do we know that I'm following this because it is a fashion trend and not because it is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I got my beard, but no topi. I got my beard, but my pants is still beneath the ankle. So now, what happened to all those things now? Why all of a sudden I'm only keeping the beard? Is it really because it is a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or is it because now the keeping of a beard became a fashion trend? So we must ask ourselves also, how many things we are caught up with? It's just a fashion trend. So, then there are so many things that are fashion trends and it goes totally against the sunnah. And we are doing it. We are doing it because that's the fashion trend. That's the way of the kuffar now. A lot of things in our life. So we must always be checking it now. This sunnah, why it's not in my life? That sunnah, why it's not in my life? You take a simple thing like our eating, right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he disliked one person eating in many utensils. What he liked was for few people eat from one utensil. But just look in our own homes. Even those of us that are deeni conscious and everything, we are having a meal sometime. Now, the sweet dish, no, we need a side plate. And the main meal now we eat in the plate. Abdullah is frowning, he doesn't know what all this is about now. What is the objective of that side plate? Why can't we eat the sweet also in the big plate? If we cannot progress to the point where few of us are eating from same plate, at least one person is eating from one utensil. Kam as kam. That too we haven't reached anyway. Because we're supposed to reach where few people are eating from one plate. Right? But now where we gone now, one person needs few plates, few dishes to eat from. So this is wrong. This is incorrect. Right? So there are many things like this in our life. Many, many things. We really look into our life. There are some things where there is a leeway. There is a concession. For example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most of the time he slept on the floor. However, there is also proof from the Hadith Sharif that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did sleep on a bed. Right? Although that may have not been his general habit. His general habit was to sleep on the floor. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did sleep on a bed. Right? So now if I'm sleeping on a bed, it's not a problem. I'm not going against. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say that if you sleep on a bed, you are sinful. Right? So, if I'm sleeping on a bed, it's no problem. If a person is sleeping on the floor, nurun ala nur. Right? That's even closer to the more general practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? But if you're sleeping on a bed, that's also sunnah. Right? A person has got short hair, that too is sunnah. He got slightly longer hair, that too is sunnah. He got nice long hair right up to his shoulders, that too is sunnah. Provided it is kept according to the sunnah. Right? So in those things there is gunjaish. I mean there is, now for example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most of the time he wore lungi. Right? There is no recorded hadith sharif to state that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wore ijar. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did praise the ijar. And there is established hadith that he purchased one also. He purchased one, but there is no hadith stating that he wore it. But he did praise it also. Now if a person is wearing ijar, and for him to wear lungi is difficult, well, no problem. It's fine, he can wear ijar. Right? Now, those people who are used to wearing lungi and they are wearing lungi, alhamdulillah, nurun ala nur, they are managing, they are wearing the lungi. So, in those things, there is some gunjaish. But other things, there is no gunjaish. The beard, there is no leeway now to wear a topi. To have the pants above the ankle, all that is, there's no leeway. And then eating on the floor, sitting on the floor and eating, no way it is found that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, sat at a table, sat on a chair at a table. No way it is found. No way did he praise it, no way did he approve of it. Nothing. So we should be people of the floor. We should be sitting on the floor and eating. So the person sometime now is only eating on the table and chair. He doesn't sit down on the floor. Half a dozen excuses he wants. Right? But now he's on holiday and he's having a picnic. Now he goes away on the floor. But now when he's going on the floor, is he going because it's sunnah? Or is he going because when you're picnicking, the trend is to sit on the floor? So his compass is the trends, not the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand? So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, you know. Each sunnah, one sunnah, try and bring it in our lives. This is Agaya, Ambiya ka Imam Agaya. But who came? The leader of the prophets. That is our Nabi. Our Nabi is not, every Nabi is special. Every Nabi, they are the greatest human beings, right? But our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a cut above. He's the the Imamul Anbiya. And if we, Allah out of His mercy, we didn't have to make no application, we didn't qualify for anything. That thing, Allah Ta'ala just out of His mercy, He made us the ummati of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And now we follow somebody else's trend and leave the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sometime when he was making dua, he used to say this. What jawab will I give to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam if he has to ask me, O my ummati, what didn't I do for you? What didn't I do that you chose the ways of my enemies over my way? You chose the face of my enemies over my face. You chose the ways of my enemies over my ways. So what jawab? Ya Allah, give us some ihsas. When he used to make this dua, he used to say, Ya Allah, give us some ihsas, some consciousness, some, how am I going to face my Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When I was following fashion trends and I left the tariqah of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you really follow the whole thing, the whole downfall of the ummah came because of this. When we moved away from the sunnah. As we started moving away from the sunnah, we complicated our lives. We had to get more and more involved in dunya. Our expenses went up. Everything went up. If you look into the sunnah, right, food is not a big story. You look into the sunnah, it's food. Food is a necessity of life. But not what we have done with food. And our women folk, even if you tell them, they still don't get it. Allah reward them, the khidmat they make and how much they want to do and prepare this and prepare that, and it's like a natural thing in them, right? That even if you have to tell them that, see, don't do all this, for them it's like an insult thing. They have to do. Now, for example, his Bakra Eid is coming up now, Eid al-Adha. So, on the day of Eid al-Adha, you're supposed to be partaking of the Qurbani. In other words, before Eid, they got no work. They're supposed to be, relaxed, making ibadat, turning to Allah Ta'ala, developing the taqwa and all that. But most homes you'll go, hey, they're phoning around now. Daughter-in-laws, daughters, right? What we're making, what we're doing. And then in so many families, this causes so much of jagra. Ill feelings. Right? One daughter will feel, now I'm doing everything. That one is always lazy. This one, she always takes the easy thing. I must always take the difficult things. Then sometime amongst the menfolk, sometime the daughter, she is very happy. She is making her mother's khidmat, right? So she, I'll make this, I'll make that, I'll make that. When husband come, he got one long shopping list. Say, excuse me, you think money growing on the trees? Why did you commit to all of this? Where's your sisters? Where's your sister-in-laws? The mother is sitting there. Hey, Mari Dikri, man. Mari Poiri. What a daughter I got. But what jagra is causing in her home? All because of all this excess that we brought into our lives. You take our clothes. Our clothes are supposed to be simple. We're supposed to have few garments. Now, because we got so many garments, so many shoes, so many of everything, now we need so many cupboards too. So now there's so many cupboards, then your room too need to be so big. So everything, as soon as we moved away from the sunnah, we complicated our lives. We complicated our lives. The cost of living went up. We need so much more money. And now when you need so much more money, now you have to work so much more harder. When you have to work so much more harder, you have less time for your ibadah, less time to turn to Allah Ta'ala. So we must bring the sunnah in our life. Slowly, slowly, one sunnah, bring it in our lives. Tere dar par jo khairul anam a gaya, uske haathon mein irfa ka jaam a gaya, pa gaya, pa gaya, haasile zindagi, dar pe aqa ke jis dam ghulam a gaya. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, in other words, that in this zamana now, the lifestyle, the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come into our lives, come into our homes. Then what it will bring with it? It will bring the goblet of the marifat of Allah Ta'ala. It will bring the goblet of the marifat of Allah Ta'ala. We don't understand it. We don't understand it. But the more the person is going to follow the sunnah, the more connected he will get to Allah Ta'ala. Because that was the whole mission of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The other day we were reading that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he sought forgiveness for Abdullah bin Ubay. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran Sharif, whether you seek forgiveness for him, you don't seek forgiveness for them, for the munafiqs, it's the same. And even if you seek forgiveness for them 70 times too, Allah won't forgive them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Umar radiallahu anhu, "Oh Umar, if I knew that by seeking forgiveness more than 70 times, he'll get forgiven, I would have done that." So his whole mission was how a person can get forgiven, how a person can get connected. Everything about his life was that. How he ate, how he walked, how he spoke, how he slept. Everything, each and everything about his life was how to connect a person to Allah Ta'ala. Every dua, how to connect the person to Allah Rabbul Izzat. So by following the sunnah, the person will get connected to Allah Ta'ala. He will be blessed with the marifat of Allah Ta'ala. Now when a person, he gets the marifat of Allah Ta'ala, then he has obtained the objective of his life. Hasile zindagi he got now, because وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا يَعْرِفُونَ. So now he has obtained the objective of his life. And when this will happen? When we will become the ghulam of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our leader, we must just follow. We are the ghulam of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the sense that we must just follow his instructions, his lifestyle, his ways, that is what I must do. When this will happen in our lives, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, then zulma rukhsat huwa adla qaim huwa ishq ke haath mein intizam aa gaya. This is exactly what happened when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. In society they were living in darkness, such darkness, fighting, bloodshed, gunas, worse guna, shirk, and every other filth was taking place. But when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, then what happened? Zulm rukhsat hua. The darkness had to vanish. Adla qaim hua. Now justice came. Noor came. Justice came. So the same thing will happen in our lives. Exact same thing. We bring Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our life. There will be harmony in the home. There will be noor in the house. There will be muhabbat between husband and wife. There will be respect between parents, the children and the parents. There will be family ties. Everything will go well. You take in a business, right? You got business partner. If both the partners, whether they are family, whether they are not family, whether there's three partners, four partners, whatever, if all have to just follow the Sharia and follow the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that partnership will smooth sail. There'll be no problems. But as soon as any one partner wants to depart from the Sunnah, now there'll be problems. Now the partnership will sink. See, in today's zamana, the only ship that don't sail is partnership. Whereas partnership is a very big thing in our deen. Partnership is a very big thing. The kitabs of fiqh got whole chapters on different types of partnership. Right? Through these partnerships, so many more people can benefit. Sometimes you got a person, he got wealth. Right? He doesn't know what to do with his money. Where he's going to invest, what he's going to do. Now he doesn't need to work so hard. But he can't leave the money standing also. You leave the money standing, even Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised that don't just leave the money standing and the zakat eats the money up. Because every year he'll have to pay zakat on that money. The money is depreciating, plus he's paying zakat, other expenses. What's left of the money? So the money must work. So now the person got money. Now he enters into a partnership. Somebody don't have a job, but he got a skill. So there is that kind of partnership. Then you get a partnership, somebody is putting in the capital, another person is putting in the work. Then you get a partnership where both of them are equal partners, they're putting in equal monies, they're both working in that partnership. Then you get one partnership that this fellow got a good reputation. So because of his reputation, he'll be able to get the goods on account. So we bring him into the partnership so we can get the goods on account. All of them got their masail and their conditions and everything. But this partnership is a big thing. That's why so many pages of fiqh explaining the whole thing. And if people do it properly, so many people can benefit. So many people can benefit. Right? But provided everybody remains within the parameters of the Sharia and the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there won't be no problem. Once anybody departs from there, now it brings destruction to that partnership. So in anything in our life, in a marriage also, both husband and wife, if both of them are on deen, both of them got the fear of Allah Ta'ala, both of them are within the parameters of the Sharia and the Sunnah, and there's no issue. As soon as one wants to depart from there, now there'll be problems in the marriage. Yes, sometimes, although people are pious and whatever, two people sometimes they just can't make it. But then they will part also amicably. Even their divorce will be amicable. Because that too they will do as has been instructed in the Quran Sharif and been taught by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today's time, the kuffar, what's their teaching? Right? The kuffar, when they get divorced, now they are at one another's jugulars. While they were married, they left the jugular alone. After they get divorced, they are at one another's jugulars now. What I'm going to get out of this thing? How much I must get out? How much they're fighting? Can I sue him for the expenses of the wedding? They want to know all that. How much I can sue for? What I can do? They're fighting for what's not theirs also. And deen, what it teaches you? You see, the lady, you divorced her. Now, for the period of her iddat, you must support her. Then, what is recommended? Recommended. One is, whatever is hers. What you gave her is hers, you can't take that. Right? And then what is recommended is when you are divorcing her, now to lessen the blow of the divorce, right? Impact of the divorce. Now give her some hadiah. Give her some gifts. Give her some hadiah. Give her some money. Give her some clothing. Give her something. Now that will be according to the person's financial situation. He will give accordingly. So now, the blow of the divorce also is lessened. That is the teachings of deen. Now there won't be rebirth and mudslinging and talking bad of one another and all that won't be there. With regards to the children, you know, to go for any heavy court case, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we both follow that. Or is over, there's no jagra. The jagras come about, the darkness comes about, the ill feelings come about when we drift away from the sunnah. Just complete this kalam. We won't have time to explain all the stanzas here. آپ کی مدح انسان کیا کر سکے عرش سے جب درود و سلام آ گیا دور ظلمت ہوئی دل منور ہوا جب مدینہ میں ماہ تمام آ گیا تیری برکت سے سید المرسلین صبح روشن ہوئی کیف شام آ گیا. This one line, one stanza here, he says, آپ کی مدح انسان کیا کر سکے. O رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, where can human beings ever praise you? In other words, where can they fulfill the right of praising you? Arsh se jab durood o salam aa gaya. When Allah Ta'ala is sending durood and salam on you, then where can insan now think that insan can praise you? In this last line he says, میں جہانات احمد سنانے لگا عاشقوں کا وہی از دہام آ گیا قلب روشن ہوا روح رقصا ہوئی لب پہ احمد کا شیری کلام آ گیا. He said, wherever I decided to sing the praises of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then a crowd of the lovers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered. Wherever I sang the praises, then the lovers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered there. And then what happened? Qalb roshan hua. The heart became nurani. Ruh raqsa hui. Then the ruh became enlightened, became nurani. When the words, the sweet words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came on the tongue. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala bless us with the true love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's finish properly. He'll give me his sajid. And we'll give you a good time. We'll not stop. InshaAllah. SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. SubhanAllah.